It's the ABCs High School Teachers Really Need to Know, Season 4, Episode Number 6, Four Letter Words. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe, or buy the books on Amazon.com. It is so good to be with you this week. I am a little bit under the weather. I've just got the crud like everybody else does. Seems like it happens all the time in this part of the year for me. Bear with me. I know last week I was recording under unique circumstances with my dog Brewer. As you may remember, I was having to record. He had just underwent some surgery. And first of all, thank you so much for all the emails and concerns just as you guys reached out. If those of you don't remember or you didn't listen last week, he had a 5.5 centimeter mass removed from his abdomen. He's doing fantastic. Stitches have been removed, but it's been a little bit of a long week, and things are certainly looking up for all of us now that that is healing up, and he seems to be doing well, and there's no signs of any cancer or anything like that. So all that good news that you want to hear. It's been a challenging week, and now I'm under the weather a little bit, so if you hear me drinking water like I'm about to, I'm sorry. I am trying to be able to speak and make it through this episode, which I really like this episode, which is all about four-letter words. And when you think four-letter words, of course, you probably think of a lot of different words. But as a high school teacher, you know that we hear a ton of four-letter words, and not all of them are great vocabulary terms to use on a daily basis. And we know that we're talking about cursing and foul language and all that. But that's not the four-letter words we're going to be talking about in this particular episode. Though I will tell you, it would make a fantastic episode in and of itself, and I'm going to make this note, but in talking about how you deal with foul language, you know, and what that says about your classroom and or your team and your school community and any community that you're in with education, you know, how do you reach out and sort of shape the culture of language used in your classroom and on the teams that you coach or in any club that you're in. So in any way that you're around students, I think that's such a great topic in and of itself. And there's a lot of different approaches and a lot of different sort of philosophies on it. So it may be something we come back to. But specifically this week, we're talking about four-letter words. And I don't know if you've ever noticed, but it's interesting to me how much sort of four-letter words shape our world. I don't know. This may be a little deep, a little bit. I don't know. But to me, it's interesting how many extremes four-letter words cover, such as love and hate. And so we're going to talk about these four-letter words. Why? Well, you may ask that question on a podcast like this, you know, why are we talking about just specifically four-letter words? Well, one, for the reasons I just said, it's amazing how many four-letter words sort of impact our world, our emotional states, and just, life around us, how it shapes us. But two, there is sort of a filter that I think is really, really important for educators to be able to sort of filter their process through. And I talk about filter a lot. And what I mean by that, because obviously each week I'm always giving you challenges and things to think about, and I get things to think about from you and feedback and all of those things. And anyway, all of these things that we're learning, we want to filter our process through and say, you know, are we good at this? Are we not as good at this? Or have we've sort of got this one checked and this one not? And of course, we know perfection is an unobtainable standard, but it's something that we always need to be thinking about, renovating ourselves and our classrooms and our processes in order to get better and better and better. And it's amazing how many four-letter words are just really great filtration words for everything that we do inside of our education process, inside of our classroom process, from classroom management to discipline to assessment and everything in between, dealing with parents, and it goes on and on and on. So I'm going to give you some of these four-letter words, and I just want you to think about them. And side note, as I said a second ago, are you as amazed as I am at how many of these words are impactful and have, you know, so much meaning in our world? So the first two I want to give you are love and care. And I think this is something that obviously teachers, by and large, I'm assuming that you're in the education business, at least K-12 education, because you have love and care for the kids that we serve. And that should be at the basis of everything that we do. And I don't mean that in a preachy way. I mean that in the from the standpoint of when you're building assessments and you're disciplining or behavioral modification or doing anything from the way you hang your bulletin boards or you design your classroom page online or whatever you do, are you doing it with sort of that love and care that you have for your students? Are you building that relationship around love and care? And I think that's just a great way to filter your process. Does everything you do enhance that relationship you have with your kids? Does it show love and care? And I think that's really important. My next four-letter word, and it's a pretty long list, and I could have kept going. I just went through the ones that popped in my head that I knew I really focused on. I'm sure you could probably and will probably email me and send me, you know, countless others. Kids. I always remind myself that we serve kids. And I've talked a lot about that over the last few weeks, as I have throughout the entire podcast series. And that's that, you know, we're serving kids, and developmentally, they need to be taught where they are developmentally. And we always have to be reminded, because you and I are not kids, that they are. And sometimes it's easy for us to kind of lose sight, especially as we're focused on helping them meet future goals and getting to where they need to be. And, you know, of course, we're trying to get them to adulthood with an education. But again, we can't expect that when they're still kids. So, three right off the top that I think are absolutely important. Let me give you some others. Look, L-O-O-K. It is so important. And I'm with this one, I'm going to go ahead and give you another one. Hear. You need to look in here as an educator, big time. You need to look what's beneath the surface. You need to look at the environment, be very observant, and hear. Hear what your kids are actually saying. Hear what parents are actually saying. You know, one of the things that I think is a really, really telltale sign of an effective teacher is somebody who can observe and proactively respond and proactively sort of plan for challenges that come up. You know, those are your firefighters that are all throughout education, because, you know, we are obviously firefighters. We put out fires left and right. And if you can look and you can hear and you're good at those two things, you're going to be very proactive, and I think you're going to be very, very successful in navigating the inevitable pitfalls and obstacles that we face in the education business. So look and hear. Another four-letter word that I think teachers need to think about more often is stop. Stop, S-T-O-P, stop. Sometimes, trying to think of a diplomatic way to say it. Sometimes we can kick a dead horse. You know, we can kick a dead horse as an educator. You know, we're trying to make our points and we're trying to drive content that sometimes it's important to go, you know what, we need to call a timeout. We need to reapproach. We need to do something different, use a different instructional strategy, change my mentality. Maybe something as simple as changing my tone. You know, it's amazing just changing course occasionally can have huge, huge payout, huge, huge benefits for students and for you inside the classroom. You got to know when to stop. And this is really important too in a different context. And that's when you do have discipline sort of coming up in the classroom, you have that class clown, or you have that student who sort of tends to, or have the ability to suck the oxygen out of the room. You got to know that you can't power struggle. You got to know that you can't just let it be about that one student each and every day. And so there's a lot of context for the word stop. And it's a four-letter word that we as educators need to know. And it's something I've talked about quite a bit. I had a whole session, a whole episode on not power struggling. That's just a dead end losing scenario for an educator just about every time. Another word that's important, team. I talked about this a few weeks ago. And so I guess this is another way to think about this episode is this is a little bit of a progress report, a little bit of a checkup for you. But is your classroom a community? Is it a team? Does it feel like a team for the kids that are in there? Does it feel like a team to you? It needs to be. And don't forget the value of team learning inside of the classroom. You know, education can be a very daunting environment for a lot of kids because one, it's facing you with inevitable academic adversity and challenges of which students are going to initially fall short or should fall short, right? Because they're being challenged and they have to overcome those challenges. That's part of the learning process. Well, it can be very lonely to always do that by yourself. And so the value of teams from the standpoint of pushing through that academic adversity and the value of, you know, team learning so it doesn't feel so lonely, that's really important. Do you do that? Rise, R-I-S-E. Rise up. You know, rise above the fray. I always think, you know, I mentioned class clowns a minute ago, and we always think about student or the students, whatever may be the case, you know, that is in your classroom that can totally disrupt you. You know, can you rise up above the fray? You know, does your classroom always sort of get pulled down by distractions or just the interruptions that come along with working with teenagers? And so my challenge to you is to rise up above that. Rise above that and stay focused on doing what you absolutely need to do, and that's to drive content, build relationships, and help kids navigate the education process. Rise up. Don't allow yourself to fall into traps like those power struggles I mentioned, or allow yourself to be run down or run over by an education system that is constantly challenging you to do more and challenging you to take on more roles and responsibilities. You know, you have to just rise up. Rise up above that and do the best that you possibly can. That's all you can really, really do, right? And I think a lot of times the more that we sort of lower ourselves and bring in a negative attitude and sort of concentrate on a small percentage of, you know, kids in our classroom or a problem in our classroom, and it sort of drowns out the fun and the excitement and the ability for the vast majority of learners in the classroom to sort of move forward. And so that's why rising up is oh so important. And look, my mission is always to make sure no matter how many kids I have in a classroom or when I'm coaching, in some environment, is that everyone is moving forward, because you're either moving forward or you're not. It's that simple. You're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. So I say rise up and move forward. I want to tell you about two ugly words. This is something I talk a ton about. Speaking of coaching, I talk a lot about these two words when I'm coaching. You know, in addition to the not so nice four letter words, the curse words that we think about with four letter words. Sorry, I was taking a drink of water. But in addition to those, I add two more words to that list of dirty words, and it always surprises kids until they kind of get to know me and my philosophy of teaching and education and supporting them. But I don't allow my kids to use the words fear or can't. Fear or can't. Those are bad words. Those are four-letter words that are not allowed. Fear is important to overcome, and you have to face that fear. Another four-letter word. You have to face that fear in order to get better. And we have to face those things. Fear is healthy. Fear is absolutely healthy. But we cannot obsess about it. And we have to encourage our students to overcome that fear and not to be held down by it or restrained beyond need over fear. And those fears that people have are all over the place. And when we think about fear, we think of common fears like a fear of bugs or a fear of snakes or a fear of heights. But there are fears that impact our kids and us as even adults all the time. A fear of not fitting in, a fear of getting something wrong and looking dumb in their minds. I would say dumb because that's, you know, what they think, right? or a fear of not meeting up to some expectation. You know, these are all complicated fears. And I challenge myself, just like I challenge all my students, and I challenge the people in my life. You know, let's overcome fear. Let's not be held back by fear. And then right along with that word is the word can't. And this is a word that I absolutely, in my martial art classes, just randomly going to share this with you. If they use the word can't, we all as a class will do push-ups. And, you know, and I'll make them, and I'll do it with them. And every time we push up, we say, I can. And the reason that I don't allow them to use can't is because, like fear, it's a mindset. It's a mindset. You may not be able to achieve it right now, but that doesn't mean you won't. And so I think it's really important that you instill that philosophy in your kids and in your learning process. You will not be scared to take chances. We will not be held down by fear. We will encourage kids to take chances, to take risks. And risk is another four-letter word. But we want them to overcome these fears. We want them to try things. Don't be held down by can't. I don't know if I've ever talked about it or not. I can't really remember. But talking about learned helplessness, you know, this idea that, you know, and you look, if you need to read about that or YouTube, there's a great YouTube video. I can't even remember her name, but she's doing experiments, psychological experiments in a classroom on learned helplessness. And this is this mentality that I'm not going to be able to do something because I never have been able to achieve it before. So, or it's hard and I expect it to be hard, and therefore I'm not going to be successful. So that's that defeated mindset. And it ties back to fear. You know, the word can't reinforces that it's something is not possible. And I do not want kids, just like I don't want myself or anybody, you know, that I'm surrounded by to believe they can't do something. You know, we have to have a can-do attitude. We have to be resourceful. We can't work in such, you know, strong terms, right? Definitive, so to speak. You know, I can't. Can is such a definitive word. What can we do? And we don't know. We can't predict the future and what's going to happen. So that's just another four-letter word we need to watch out for. And again, don't forget risk. And risk is a really important one. Risk is really important because you cannot overcome fear, and it's certainly difficult to be able to do something, so can, without taking risks. And sometimes, a lot of times, kids are scared to take risks. And honestly, if I'm being completely honest, a lot of that is because of this structured framework of a classroom that we, set up. These high sort of risk situations, you know, these big tests, and we make it difficult for kids to safely be brave enough to take chances in a classroom and get things wrong because, again, they're feeling dumb, or we bark down their throats because they've missed the answer to a question, and the list goes on and on and on. But we want to set up an environment where our kids feel like it's okay to take risks so that they can eventually accomplish what it is that they need to accomplish. The next word, mine, M-I-N-E, mine. This is mine. This is mine. And of course, what I'm talking about here is ownership. I want ownership. I, as an educator, I want to own my classroom. I want to own what I'm selling, so to speak, what I'm facilitating. I want to own the content. And I also want to own the work that I generate, the lessons that I make, the people that I sort of impact with these lessons. I want to make sure I'm giving my best, that it's mine, that it's Matt Bermucci's flair, it's Matt Bermucci's style that is stamped on. I don't want to use somebody else's and just sort of, you know, materials or methodology and just bring it in the classroom and claim it as my own. I want to always mesh it with mine. And I expect the same from my kids. When kids are turning in homework, when they're, you know, doing a project, I want them to own it. So I always think about what are ways that I can promote ownership in my students. And again, we have had episodes after episodes on this, but it's just a four-letter word that it's super important. Mine, ownership. And the last four-letter word I wanted to talk about today is live. Live. L-I-V-E, live. Remember, in the education process, sometimes it's so important to us that we're hitting every single standard and getting to every single possible thing that we possibly can cover, that it sometimes clouds over the fact, again, that we're dealing with kids, and also that, you know, hey, we've got to stop and do a better job of applying this to the real world and actually getting to explore. You know, I'm always talking about the importance of making sure that in each and every lesson that you create, there's sort of those open-ended questions, and in those units, you provide time to explore and all those kinds of things. You got to live. Attach it to the real world. Get to know your kids. Live. Because that's ultimately why we're there, right? You know, I taught a variety of different subjects over my education experience. But it's not about what I teach. It's about who I teach and how I've connected that to those that I serve. And so, yeah, this episode may seem a little bit all over the place, and perhaps it is. But if you think about it, what I've given you, as I said at the top of the episode, is sort of a series of four-letter words, of which I hope, again, you're as amazed as I am about how impactful four-letter words can be, not just the bad ones. But you go through this list of four-letter words that I've given you, and it's a great self-reflective tool for you to ask about yourself, your process, and your students. Does your process show love and care? Are you really good at looking and hearing your kids and in your environment? Do you rise above the fray? Rise above the negativity or the challenge that seems to suck all the time out of your day? Can you rise above it? Do you remember that we're working with kids and that we can't expect them to be adults? We have to treat them where they are developmentally. And sometimes that may mean that it's inconvenient for our timetable. But we have to. We have to know when to stop. We have to know when to change courses. We can't dig our heels into the ground and refuse to change, refuse to, you know, go a different direction because that's what we need to do. We have to focus on the team mentality and know that teams offer such an incredible learning opportunity in and of themselves that it's not only real world, but also just makes learning more fun. Think about teams, and are your classrooms about teams? Do you see it as period one or block two, or do you see that as your first team in the day, your second team of the day? Are you on a team? Are you facilitating a team? Do your kids take risks? Is it a place, is your classroom a place where it's okay for them to take risk? They're not chained down by fear. And they don't live by the word can't. They live by the word can, and they're resourceful. Do they take ownership? Is this project mine? Is this lesson mine? And then lastly, do they live? In your classroom, do they live and attach real-world meaning to the content that you're facilitating? Do you take time to get to know your kids as people? You're not there to teach English 3. You're there to build relationships with your kids so you can teach English 3 because you care about their outcomes and the education that they're getting. And I think effective teachers know that. I think they do. And so all four letters, words are not bad. All four letter words are not bad. And this list shows you that there are a lot of four letter words that are impactful, and if not, the most impactful words that impact our classrooms. We have to think about those things and filter every ounce of our process through these words. You'd be glad you did. Well, that's it for this week. So glad that you joined us here in this episode. Look forward to being with you next week. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe, or buy the books on Amazon.com. If you're on spring break, please enjoy it. If you're going on spring break in the next week or two, hold on. You're almost there. We'll see you down the road. Let me know if I can do anything.